Hey everyone, I'm Thanos Davelis, and welcome back to The Greek Current, a podcast by the Hellenic American Leadership Council and Kathy Merini, where we highlight the top stories of the day every afternoon with analysis from guest experts, policymakers, journalists, and HELC staff. On Monday, Turkey's Constitutional Court accepted an indictment filed by a top prosecutor seeking a ban on the pro-Kurdish People's Democratic Party, or the HDP, for alleged ties to the outlawed PKK, opening the way for a case to shut down Turkey's third largest party. The HDP denies formal links to the PKK and says any attack by Erdogan's ruling party and its far-right nationalist allies is retribution for its opposition to the government. The HDP has come under an increased pressure in recent months, with Erdogan's nationalist allies calling for it to be banned. This move by prosecutors comes just 1 week after President Biden met with President Erdogan at the NATO summit. Merve Tahiroglu, the Turkey program coordinator at PAMED, the Project on Middle East Democracy, joins the Greek Current to discuss this latest development. Merve, welcome back on the Greek Current.
Thanks for having me again.
Merve, Turkey's Constitutional Court on Monday accepted an indictment against the HDP, which is the third largest party in the country. Why is this such a big deal?
Well, it's a big deal for multiple reasons. The most obvious reason is that, as you mentioned, the HDP is the country's third largest party. It's the second largest opposition party. So for the Turkish government to so openly and blatantly try to ban this party right now is a real comment on how they see the future of, you know, electoral democracy and political pluralism in Turkey. It is just a clear aggression against a legitimate party that has millions of voters and is the second largest opposition party in parliament. So they have a certain weight in the parliament as well. And, you know, it's a clear transgression against, I think, the democratic will of Turkish citizens that they're going after this. The second reason why it's important is that the party HDP is, we call it pro-Kurdish, and it's in fact predominantly made up of Kurdish members of parliament and members. Its voters, the majority of its voters are Kurdish people. So the government's attack on this particular party also shows how it has really no interest in trying to get any reconciliation in Turkey with regards to the Kurdish question. It's the most important question, I think, that's plaguing Turkish democracy and the, you know, question of human rights in Turkey today. As the government associates this legal political party, because they are predominantly Kurdish, with the PKK, which is an insurgency group, Kurdish insurgency group, and is designated as a terrorist organization in Turkey and the U.S. and the EU, just shows that the government is not willing to give any kind of avenue for Kurdish citizens in Turkey to voice their issues, their problems that they're facing in Turkey in a democratic way. Because, you know, what happens in a country where a minority doesn't get full representation and doesn't feel it has equal rights is that in the worst case, as we do have in Turkey, you have a group like the PKK leading an insurgency, and there's a bloody war that's been going on for 40 years with the Turkish state that has claimed tens of thousands of lives and continues to claim lives today. Or you give your disgruntled citizens a way of expressing their problems and their demands in a democratic fashion, and to do so through a legal political party. That was the role and is the role that the HDP is playing and is supposed to play in Turkish politics. So for such a party to be banned or shut down forcefully, I think would be pretty traumatic for Kurdish citizens and seriously undermine any efforts by Turks and Kurds to try to have a peaceful solution to Turkey's now decade-old war with the PKK.
The court had originally rejected an indictment over procedural flaws back in March. What's changed this time around?
So that's a good question, because yes, they originally, the public prosecutor brought this case forward in March, and then it was very quickly, I don't even want to say rejected, but it was handed back to the prosecutor saying there were some technical issues with it. So they quickly seem to have fixed whatever those technical issues were. I haven't actually seen the first copy of the indictment. One change is that the first indictment was asking for about 600 something members of the party to face jail and to be banned from any political activity for a certain amount of years. Now it seems that number is down to around like 400 51 people now, so it's still a huge number, but I guess they made it a bit more targeted. But still, I mean, the current indictment is 843 pages, and given how the Turkish judiciary has been launching all these investigations and prosecutions against members of this party for the last 6 years, most of which has been condemned by the international human rights groups, international community, including the EU, and more recently by the Biden administration for being without due process or without having any just cause or proper legal basis. I hardly doubt that this 843-page indictment has any real information in it that would, you know, in objective, independent court that follows the rule of law, would be considered grounds for actually shutting down the party. This is a completely political decision and process. So it's really, I think, an example of how the Turkish government is weaponizing its control over the judiciary to go after political opponents. And it's really an alarming development for Turkey. I think it seriously risks social and political stability in Turkey.
Picking up where we just left off there on social and political stability, Merve, this decision follows another incident that took place last week where a gunman killed an HDP member in a shooting in Izmir. The HDP said the ruling party, Erdogan's party, the AKP, was the instigator of the attack as a result of constantly targeting the HDP and its members. Can you talk about this tragic incident and how it fits into the broader discussion that we're having here?
It was a horrific attack. I mean, these, you know, ultra-nationalists attacked the headquarters of the HDP in this province of Izmir. And as a result, of course, one person lost their lives. What's really tragic about it is that it's by no means the only attack against an HDP building or members that we've seen. There have been dozens of attacks against HDP headquarters in Istanbul, Ankara, all other provinces, particularly in the southeast. Periodic attacks like this by people that, you know, I guess we could call them civilians, but clearly they are ultra-nationalists. And, you know, once they're attacking violently and, you know, murdering people, I don't know if we can still call them, the best case we can call them criminals. Part of the reason why the HDP is, you know, pointing its finger to the Turkish government for this is because there has been clear impunity for these violent people attacking the HDP. There has been no real prosecution into any of these attacks that we've previously seen. So it was just sort of lucky that more people have not lost their lives already in these previous attacks. But this one that just happened last week, President Erdogan did sort of condemn it over the weekend, but, you know, it was not forceful. He made it seem like this was just a lone wolf attack, so to speak, did not acknowledge that this is part of a huge pattern. And most importantly, President Erdogan himself and high-level Turkish government officials and media, pro-government media that is entirely under the control of the ruling AKP or Erdogan's family or friends in the business sector, have been leveling what I would call a campaign against the HDP, portraying it as a terrorist group, the same as the PKK, all its members as terrorists and traitors to the Turkish Republic for so many years now. It's no wonder why these attacks are happening. And when there are no real prosecutions into the instigators of this kind of violence, there is a whole sense of impunity among these people to be able to carry these attacks. So I think we should see the Turkish government as the primary force for this kind of violence. And I do hope that there will be some accountability at some point, you know, for these attacks. But now that they're trying to shut down the party officially by branding it, you know, they've been already in the media and verbally been trying to brand it as a terrorist group. But if the Constitutional Court moves forward with this case and actually deems the party linked to a terrorist group and therefore shuts it down on those grounds, I think we'll only see more violence, you know, coming towards Kurdish citizens, particularly politically active ones in Turkey.
Back in March, the State Department made it clear that a ban on the HDP would further undermine democracy, and the EU had said that the party's closure would violate the rights of millions of voters in Turkey. I know it's still early given how recently the decision was made in Turkey, but have you seen any reactions yet from Western capitals?
Yeah, I haven't seen any reactions coming from Western capitals so far. You're right. There have been multiple statements coming out of EU capitals about the overall assault against the HDP. And back when in March they brought forward this case to ban the party, there was a reaction that did come out of it. I think, you know, clearly that reaction must not have been strong enough, that Turkey is very clearly moving forward with this case now. And it is, you know, pretty ironic that the Constitutional Court accepted this now, exactly a week after the NATO summit, in which also President Biden and Erdogan had their first in-person meeting, and after which President Biden made a whole speech at NATO emphasizing the importance of democracy, particularly for members of NATO. So, you know, the timing of this to me suggests that whatever reaction that has come so far, and there's been one statement by the Biden administration from the State Department, as you mentioned, saying that this would be quite problematic if Turkey were to move ahead with this case from a few months ago. But clearly that reaction wasn't strong enough. I think that Turkey is moving forward with it just a week after the NATO summit.
Speaking of the NATO summit, you had written extensively about the need to prioritize human rights in the U.S.-Turkey relationship in the lead up to that meeting. Is this latest decision to move ahead with the crackdown on the HDP a sign that President Erdogan has disregarded any human rights concerns President Biden may have raised during that meeting?
I mean, may have raised is a very good way of putting it, because we simply don't know. There is no White House readout of this meeting. And we know that the Biden administration has made several public statements emphasizing the importance of rule of law and democracy and human rights in Turkey. But it is far from clear that President Biden or his delegation raised any specific issues or even sort of thematic issues with regards to human rights, democracy, and rule of law in that particular bilateral meeting that they had. We only know the Turkish side of things, you know, how the discussion went from the Turkish side, because, of course, President Erdogan made a whole speech and held a press conference afterwards, and he put a very positive spin on how the meeting went and where Turkish-American relations stand, and referred to this deal that the two sides seem to have reached about Afghanistan, whereby upon, you know, U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan, Turkey might be assuming the role of gatekeeper there and, you know, trying to keep Afghanistan stable and secure, which, you know, is another thing that we can discuss separately. But per that deal and per how respectful the discussion was between the two sides, this is the account of President Erdogan, and it's the only account that we have about how this meeting went. So I'm really not sure that President Biden raised any of these issues or his delegation raised any of these issues in that meeting, which is really disappointing for, you know, not just us, POMED, but I know multiple human rights organizations, I mean, around the world, but also here in D.C., who have been asking the Biden administration to really use this meeting as an opportunity to emphasize exactly what kinds of things would need to change within Turkey, especially with regards to the question of rule of law in this meeting. And I don't think that that is, in fact, what happened. We at POMED always emphasize that American policy towards Turkey must prioritize these issues, because other bilateral issues, whether it's the S-400 missile that Turkey is buying or increasingly cozy relationship between Turkey and Russia, any bilateral issue, Turkey's aggression towards Greece and Cyprus and the Eastern Mediterranean, which seems to have dampened and calmed down now. But the fact that we were just a year ago discussing potential violence erupting between Turkey and Greece, two NATO members. I mean, all of these issues are a product of the way President Erdogan is governing Turkey and the authoritarian direction that he is pulling Turkey towards. And, you know, in terms of a geopolitical orientation, moving Turkey away from democratic values means that Turkey is becoming an increasingly disruptive and irresponsible actor on the international stage. So unless Turkey goes on a path towards democratization, I don't think any of the foreign policy issues that the U.S. has with Turkey are going to go away. We're only going to see more of them. And this is why U.S. policy needs to prioritize it. But honestly, we shouldn't even be in a position right now making this case to the Biden administration, because President Biden himself said that he's interested in putting democracy and human rights at the center of U.S. foreign policy. And even his speech at NATO seemed to reiterate that. But I don't know how the Biden administration can claim that it is putting human rights at the center of its foreign policy, and then giving Erdogan essentially a carte blanche at the NATO summit, so that 1 week later, Turkish Constitutional Court, many of its members are handpicked by President Erdogan himself or his government, would move forward with a case to shut down the country's second largest opposition party. I mean, this is a clear transgression against democratic procedure and norms. So I do think that the Biden administration really needs to, I mean, you said it made clear in a previous statement what the fallout would be in the eyes of the United States if Turkey moves forward with this closure case. But I'm not sure that message is, you know, being conveyed in the clearest possible way to the Turkish government, because I do think if they were conveying it, if this message were coming from the highest level, such as by President Biden himself or the Vice President or Secretary Blinken, then I think it would really resonate in Ankara. And the fact that they're moving forward with this case, to me, indicates that Erdogan is ignoring those concerns on the Turkish side, and he's able to ignore them because the message is not conveyed as forcefully and unequivocally as it should be.
Merve, thanks for joining us again on The Greek Current. It's great having you back on.
Thank you. It's great chatting with you.
In other news, cooperation in the fields of energy and security, Turkey's stance in the Eastern Mediterranean, the situation in Libya, and the Cyprus issue dominated Monday's meeting between Greek Prime Minister Kyriakos Mitsotakis and Egyptian President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi in Cairo. Sisi highlighted the need to strengthen the trilateral mechanism between Greece, Cyprus, and Egypt, while stressing the need to respect international law and the principle of non-interference in the internal affairs of states in the wider region. Greek officials said the meeting was an occasion to reaffirm Greece and Egypt's common approach to a range of issues, the strategic character of bilateral relations, and the will on both sides to further deepen cooperation. Finally, in an interview with Kathimerini, Senator Bob Menendez, the chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, spoke about Turkey, the U.S.-Greece Defense and Interparliamentary Partnership Act, and the 3+1 partnership between Greece, Cyprus, and Israel. On Turkey, he noted that no concessions should be made to Turkish President Erdogan without a significant behavior change, adding that Turkey continues to display provocative behavior in the region. Discussing the U.S.-Greek partnership, Menendez said that the bilateral relationship has never been stronger, and defense cooperation is a key pillar. That wraps up today's episode of The Greek Current. Thanks for tuning in.